We're on step 11, which is sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. So that's assuming that, you know, we've gone through the steps previously. We started kind of like formulating or describing what our God is as we understand or don't quite understand God. And as we've gotten closer to God and to our fellows, we've cleaned up the wreckage of our past. And now it's really all about God. For me personally, I have like a very busy, yakky mind, which is one reason why, of course, I drank so much, because nothing quiets that down like a couple shots of Jägermeister or whatever. But there's also a lot of thoughts in there that aren't necessarily true. Like, there's a lot of thoughts in there that aren't necessarily true. There's thoughts that occur that seem like there might be a good idea. And those thoughts are like, maybe I should have a drink. Maybe she's really a bitch. Maybe I should take the money. Maybe I'll do it in 5 more minutes. So there's a lot of thinking that is still self-centered, and it's ill. When I first came in here, I started kind of substituting those thoughts, right? So I would want to take a drink, and I wanted to take a drink every single, like, probably 10 minutes in my first couple weeks. I wanted to drink all the time. So I would want to take a drink, and I would go say the serenity prayer and maybe reach out to another alcoholic, and I would get through that time without taking a drink. So that to me became about substitution, right? So I already had a higher power when I got here. I just wouldn't admit it to anyone. My higher power was Absolut Vodka, Jägermeister, Jack Daniels, like whatever, all that, alcohol. They call it in the book, like John Barleycorn, King Alcohol. So that was my higher power. And I worshiped that, and I was devoted to that, and I spent many hours of my time on that, and I spent thousands of dollars of my money on that. I was, you know, pretty devoted. And yet I came in here, and I was like, I'm not an alcoholic. You guys just don't understand. I have post-traumatic stress. I have attention deficit. Well, if you went through what I went through, like all that nonsense, right? So I already did have a higher power. I just didn't really recognize that. So that became in the beginning about substitution, about having a thought and then substituting a different thought as directed by people in these rooms and a loving sponsor who said, listen, just try it. Just try it. And I did try it. That was the test for me. I wanted to drink. I said a prayer. I called another alcoholic. I didn't drink. That to me is like, that's way evidence to me. And it worked out like a lot better. Because then I wasn't drunk. I didn't drive drunk. I didn't do a lot of the stuff you guys already know I did. I didn't go make out with the staff in the bathroom anymore. And people started not being on my case anymore. For step 11, for me personally, and I did this, you know, as I did my other steps, first I did it with a sponsor and then I did it through another program. With my sponsor, I used the big book and the 12 and 12, and then I used another book. This is the only book that my sponsor had me read that I really didn't like. It was called Find a Quiet Corner, and I said it was called Find a Boring Corner. And I hassled him at length about that. What it really was like suggestions for like finding not lack of chaos. Whether it's like sitting in the garden or, you know, looking at a candle, that kind of stuff. Let's talk about prayer and meditation for a minute, so it's not just like my take on it. There is a direct link among self-examination, meditation, and prayer. Taken separately, these practices can bring much relief and benefit, but when they are logically related and interwoven, the result is an unshakable foundation for life. Now and then we may be granted a glimpse of that ultimate reality which is God's program, and we will be comforted and assured that our own destiny in that realm will be secure for so long as we try, however falteringly, to find and do the will of our own Creator. As we have seen, self-searching is the means by which we bring new vision, action, and grace to bear upon the dark and negative sides of our nature. It is a step in the development of that kind of humility that makes it possible for us to receive God's help. Yet it's only a step. We'll want to go further. The actual experience of meditation and prayer across the centuries is, of course, immense. The world's libraries and places of worship are a treasure trove for all seekers. It is hoped that every AA who has a religious connection which emphasizes meditation will return to the practice of that devotion as never before. But what about the rest of us who, less fortunate, don't even know how to begin? This is all about bringing this into your life, not just like for this hour, but at home, upon awakening. I have something that I read in the morning. I read like a 24-hour-a-day book when I first get up. That's like the best thing to do. If I skip it or procrastinate on it, I might not get to it, and it all gets about up here, and I start off like kind of on the wrong foot, and then I'm trying to like catch up. So we put these tools into our day, basically, with like a daily meditation. I did bring some of the handouts that I had last week, which were basically like a 10 and 11 step inventory written. For me, it has to be pretty much in writing or it's not even going to happen. Like I might say, oh, I have to get my hair cut. If it's not written on a piece of paper, I ain't showing up. It's not going to happen. Like, it has to be in writing for me. And it's a real accountability. So I also appreciate this opportunity because this is my accountability to you guys of, I guess I better brush up on step 11 and 10. What is prayer and meditation? What's that all about? Oh, it's been a little while, hasn't it? So I can't come in here and, you know, talk about something I'm not doing. One of my favorite prayers, and it's talked about in the 12 and 12. So we have some great prayers that are about turning our will and our lives over to God, which to me is 3, 7, and 11. And I asked Jim to read the 11-step prayer, and then we're going to talk about that a little bit.
Jim. Lord, make me a channel of thy peace. That where there is hatred, I may bring love. Where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness. That where there is discord, I may bring harmony. That where there is error, I may bring truth. That where there is doubt, that I bring faith. That where there is despair, I may bring hope. That where there are shadows, I may bring light. That where there is sadness, I may bring joy. Lord, grant that I may seek rather than comfort than to be comforted, to understand than to be understood, to love than to be loved. For it is by self-forgetting that one finds, it is for forgiving that one is forgiven. It is dying that one awakens to eternal life.
Amen. Thank you, Jim. So, St. Francis was a patron saint of the animals, so it's great that we have an animal in here today. But what that prayer is all about, and what a lot of our meetings have been about lately, is being a reflection of each other. It's reaping what we sow. So if I actually want to be forgiven, and I do want to be forgiven, and I'm guilty of many things, I have to forgive. And then I have this message in my head that says, like, yeah, but that was a really horrible thing that they did, and then, and blah, 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 blah. But there is an element of me in that other person. There's a Time magazine out right now that says what it takes to forgive a killer on the cover. My boyfriend has it on the table, and I'm like, well, that's like a pretty serious, you know, that's a pretty serious thing. Like, what does it take to forgive a killer? Well, inside of us, there's actually probably a killer. Inside of me, there's an alcoholic. There is a crazy bitch alcoholic inside me. There really is. I have substituted that thought and turned my life and my will over to the care of God. But inside me is that. And when I talk to my sponsor about somebody maybe I'm working with, and this is not lately, and you guys don't know this person, but I've worked with certain sponsees that have been just like absolutely helpless victims of life, and can't get it together, and can't go to a meeting, and waiting for the government check, and I'll be like, listen, this is eating my lunch. Like, this should not be this way. How come she doesn't blah blah, and why doesn't she get a job? And he has just said to me, what is it about her that reminds you of you? I'll be like, really? What is it about her that reminds you of you? I absolutely despise the fact that there is a part of me inside that has actually been helpless, that has received the government checks, that was temporarily disabled. That was like very scary and weird. I since slowly and gradually worked myself out of that and stopped believing that I was completely incapacitated. But for a while, guess what? I thought that. So I thought that, so I did that, so I lived that way. I was really dependent, like in an unfair way, to other people. And I did not like that about myself. But I didn't see it in me. I saw it in somebody else. So also, as I was able to, you know, segue out of that, I'm like, but then she can get out of it because I got out of it. And I'm like, well, everybody doesn't have, you know, the path that you have. Everybody doesn't know that you can, you know, change your thoughts, or even sometimes change your actions before you change your thoughts. Like, sometimes you have to, like, act your way into good thinking, like, do the next right thing, even though, you know, come to a meeting, even though I want to stay home and order inventory, or, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, do actually the right thing. So, in between those conversations, it really helped me to see, oh, what really bothers me about somebody else is what it reminds me about me, is the yuck inside of me. Well, can I do anything about the yuck inside of anyone else? Not really. But I can put out there forgiveness. If I put out forgiveness, the only thing that can bounce back is forgiveness. If I put out love, the only thing that can bounce back is love. And I've always been about, like, well, what can I get out of it? What's in it for me? Where's my amends? You know, all that nonsense. I tend to still be fairly selfish and self-centered. So a lot of times it's still, you know, what about me? What, you're like, where's my hope? Where's my light? Where's my joy? I'm sad. Well, if I put out, like, love and... Thanks, Alan. If I put out faith, if I just put out the other thing, that's the only thing that can come back. It's like last week. If you plant rutabagas, you're only going to get rutabagas. You're not going to get green beans. You're not going to get petunias. You're going to get rutabagas. That's what there is. So for my life in prayer and meditation, since coming to the program, I've gone to a couple different churches. For me, I found yoga very effective because it's like an active meditation. Like seriously sitting and like being quiet is still fairly difficult for me. Playing tennis is great for me. It's like ball, like I can't think about anything else. There's a ball headed at my face. I have to focus on it. And there's different stuff. Some people dig fishing or golf. It's just out there, like being at one with nature, being calm, being peaceful, being with God, being with our fellows in a calm manner. Our literature talks about, you know, be quick to see where religious people are right. I'm down with probably trying another church out or two. You know, I've done that for a little while. I got something out of that, especially since a lot of our literature was derived from that. Wednesday nights, I often go to a meeting called Recovery Bible Study, and that's like a meld of 12-step program with biblical readings. So that's pretty cool. Other than that, my favorite meditation, actually, and this is probably going to sound goofy, but I'm going to tell you anyway, because you guys already know everything else. So I do have a love for animals, and I had this love for animals before, you know, I even came into AA. You guys know I'm as soft as a jellyfish inside, right? I found these kittens when I was living over in Plantation. There was kittens on my freaking doorstep. And I'm like, what's up with these kittens, these pathetic little kittens? I guess I better catch them. And then that's how I really talk to myself, too. So I guess I better catch them. And I caught one of them pretty easily because it was kind of slow and sick. And the other one was kind of more difficult to catch. And like just real, you know, maybe I should let it go. This is going to take too much effort. So I caught these little baby cats and brought them in the house, and they were mangy and scrawny and whining and crying, and it was actually pretty sad. The one kitten died that night, and the other kitten lived, the feistier one. So that kitten lived. And I was not looking for a kitten, by the way. No one's really ever looking for a cat or a kitten. They're just not. Trust me, because then later on, I asked everyone I know, do you need a cat? Do you need a cat? Is there a cat missing from your life? Guess what? Nobody was missing a cat. I was like, I need to not have this cat. I'm doing some catering. I can't have cat hair around. Meanwhile, my roommate, his dog had passed away, so I'm like, okay, he probably needs a cat. Well, I came for, and it was a pretty tough time in my life, too. I was working this job that I really didn't like. I was broken up with my boyfriend, and I thought this cat would be Dave's cat, Dave's new pet. And this cat, when I came home every night from my crappy job, would be at the door, meow, 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 and like want to hang out with me and cuddle with me and snuggle with me. And she did not want to be Dave's cat. She wanted to be Andrea's cat. So now, it was pretty clear. I would try, like, listen, you need to go hang out with Dave. Dave is bereaved. Dave is bereaved over the loss of his dog. You need to hang out with him. Nope, she'd come and hang out with me. So now one of my best times of meditation is either, like, in my backyard, watching her, like, play around and chase butterflies in the grass, just like calmly just being there and enjoying that. Or, you know, I'll sit and I'll like pet her and just, you know, think about love and not much at all. Just, you know, what a loving creature she is, because she really is very loving. And when I really think about her, I think about how I'm a provider for her and how God is a provider for me. Right? So I don't want her to be killing lizards. I don't want her to be fighting with the other cat. I don't want her to be like, you know, crying up a storm. I love her regardless. I love her anyway. I have good wishes for her. I want her to be happy. It makes me happy to see her happy. But I love her either way. And I think that for me, that's how I experience God. Like, God doesn't want me fighting with other people. God doesn't want me killing things. God doesn't want me off getting into trouble. He loves me anyway. He loves me even if I do. He, you know, he cares for me. He provides for me. But, so there's an unconditionality But I think when we do God's will, to me that's like my cat behaving itself, kind of, as simplistic as that may be. So with that, I think I'll be quiet.